We're going to carry on with the same instruction. And really, this sermon goes along with last week's sermon. And I just didn't have time to tie all of this together because we're going to carry right out of chapter 6, verse 12. And we're going to look at four things that we need in order to fight a good fight of faith. And it's right here in our text this week. And we need to have these four things. We need to understand these four things so that we can properly fight the good fight of faith. Not fighting like knocking each other over with our boxing gloves, but fighting for what we believe in, fighting for the truth, fighting for souls of men. That's what we need to be fighting for. You know, a wise man, in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5, it says, a wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. So we need to flee those things, right? And we need to follow after, and we need to listen to what God is saying, and we need to increase in our learning and in our understanding, and we need to listen to wise counsels. We have the wise counsel of God right here in front of us today, and we need to listen to that. So this week I want to title this message, Representing God Well. And just as a child represents his parents with their actions and their vocabulary, we as children of God represent who God is. And sometimes that's not good. And it's not like we're changing who God is, but we're representing to the lost world this is the Jesus that you're speaking of, because you're representing him this way. And we don't think of it like that. But our children portray really the kind of parents that we are. And we, as children of God, really portray who we think God is. You know, we don't need to put on a facade of, okay, I'm holy on Sundays. I'm holy when we meet with other Christians. But we need to be holy all the time. We need to be righteous with God, right with God all the time, and not put a facade on, but walk the walk that is set before us in a way that glorifies God. Not in a way that magnifies ourselves, that says, look at me, I am holy. I am holier than thou. And doing this is going to cause us to represent God well, all the while fighting the fight, the good fight of faith. So, you know, there's no greater words that can be spoken to mankind is that when we meet Jesus Christ, and God says these words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. There's no greater words that we can ever desire to hear. Just as a child wants to hear their parents say, good job, son, good job, daughter. We should desire to hear that from the Lord. That, hey, with what you had, with what the time that I gave you on earth, the things that I laid before you, you did a good job. We should desire that. We need to desire to please God and not man. In Colossians 3:23, it says, and whatsoever you do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. And it's a lot easier sometimes to do it unto men than it is unto God, because men are right up in our face, right? It's hard to please man because our expectations get set so high. As a father, my expectations get set so high for my children that there's no way that they can attain to what I've put before them. But really, we need to focus on, hey, whatever we're doing, do it unto the Lord and not unto man. So to piggyback off of verse 12 from last week, I'm going to read verses 12 through 16 today, and then we'll get rolling. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, it says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickened all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and the... I can never pronounce that. Potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Sorry, slipped my mind. In verse 16, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. So we're going to carry on from the first phrase there in verse 12, and we're going to tie in these four things that need to be present in our life, that we need to understand that we need these in our toolbox in order to fight the good fight of faith. Because, okay, the good fight of faith, go fight the good fight of faith. Okay, what is that? And how do I do it? Oftentimes we give instruction without really giving instruction. We give a command with no instructions. And just like men, when we buy something and we open the box and we throw the papers out, we don't want the instructions. We'll figure this out. We'll figure it out how to fight the good fight of faith. Might take your whole entire life if you don't listen to the instruction that God has laid before us. Praise the Lord, He's given us instruction and He's given us the manual so that we don't have to waste our whole entire life, our whole entire race that God has given us in order to figure out how to do things. Because He's like, hey, I've shown you right here in the text. The Apostle Paul often spoke in his writings of fighting. And we can see in the next book that Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:7, it says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul used the same language here as he wrote to Timothy, knowing his life was shortly coming to an end, and he needed to be fighting. He needed to be about the Father's business. And here's what we have to understand from this, is that Paul was in no way advocating or promoting physical violence. He wasn't saying, go out and be a boxer. We know this because we've looked at the qualifications in 1 Timothy chapter 3 of being a pastor, and it says right in there, don't be a striker, don't be a brawler, don't be about that. So Paul wasn't promoting being that kind of a fighter, so we need to understand what he's saying here. The battle that we face today is not against flesh and blood, but against Satan and his evil plan that he has for mankind and for this world today. And we are in a battle, we're in a fight, and we can't physically knock Satan out, or we would, right? I would. I'm like, punk, stop doing this. But no, we don't fight like that. Paul calls them principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is what we're fighting against, church. Paul warned the believer that they had better have the whole armor of God, not just part of it, to be able to withstand. It says in Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So Paul tells Timothy here, hey, fight the good fight. And he also said back in 1 Timothy 1:18, to war a good warfare. It says, this charge I command unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and good conscience. And he goes on to say that. And so Paul is charging Timothy, just as a commander charges that we need to be about what's laid before us. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, 3 says that we need to endure hardness as a good soldier. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We are soldiers if we're born again today. But are we a good soldier? Are we fighting for who we serve? Are we engaged in the battle today? The word fight here is defined as this. The word fight is defined simply as involved in a battle or a struggle. And if you're saved today and you know Jesus personally, then you are in a battle. The question is, how are we fighting? How will we fight? And every believer should fight a good fight, but the simple fact is that not everyone will. Not everyone will engage in the battle that is set before us. Not everyone will fight the good fight of faith. Not every believer will do that because they just want eternal life. They just want that get out of hell card. You should be able to say one day that, hey, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course when I'm about to leave this earth. You know, I know some faithful, I wrote this sermon far before I heard about Mark Trotter's passing yesterday, and I couldn't help as I was reviewing this morning about, some of you have no idea who Mark Trotter is, but some of you, even if you don't, he's impacted your life. I can tell you that because he's impacted so many lives literally around the world that it can't help, but it's touched us in some way. And he could honestly stand before God and said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've ran my race strong. And there's so many men that I can, women that I can think of that have went before us that can say that. Not just the Apostle Paul, but physically, literally, people that we know that can stand and say, man, I did. I fought a good fight. And we should want a desire to do that as well. But it's hard. So why is it important? Why does it matter? Because if we're saved, then yeah, we're going to heaven. So why do we need to struggle now? Why should we struggle? So point one here of why we need to be fighting the good fight of faith. It's because in chapter 6, verse 13, it's because the Lord is watching. It says, I give thee charge in the sight of God. Why fight the good fight of faith? Because our Father's watching. Just as a kid, if their parents are watching them, they're going to do the dishes properly, right? But if mom and dad are out on a date or something, the dishes don't really get done right. All the pots and pans go in the dishwasher and it ruins them, and you know. But hey, God is always watching, okay? So we need to remember that. So when we don't feel like we want to fight the good fight of faith, we need to remember, my Father's watching. And I need to be about his business. Paul makes it clear that our commander, right, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is watching. And we often forget this simple yet profound truth. As we live our Christian life in war against Satan, God is watching. He's not distant. He's not removed from us. The simple fact should encourage us and motivate us to fight the good fight. You know, God is observing us, and one day will hold us accountable for what we did and not did not do. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, it says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto his eyes, the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So God is watching. God is always watching what we're doing and how we're doing it. What's awesome about God, and sometimes I wish it wasn't so awesome, is that he doesn't force anything upon us. He doesn't make us do things. He doesn't hold his thumb on us and say, hurry up and go share the gospel with this person because they're about to die. No, he says, hey, I need you to go and share the gospel. But you have free will to do what you want. We need to think of it like that. The second reason is because of the example that Jesus left for us. And following there in verse 13, it says, who quickened all things, and before Christ, Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Jesus Christ stood before Pilate. Jesus could have compromised, right? He could have escaped. He could have not went through with what the torture and humiliation of the cross, but he stayed faithful. He stood for the truth of God and told Pilate the truth as well. And even though it meant certain death by him doing that, he knew the mission. He knew the plan that his dad had laid before him. He knew the purpose of his life. And it was to go to the cross. It was to take all of our sin to the cross. And it was to die there. And he was not going to compromise in order to get out of that, like mankind does. Like, we like to compromise. We like to bend things to make it not so painful or make it easier for us to get through something. I love Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. Turn there. Look at this with me. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Pretty familiar passage, but I going. He must make a once and for all payment for mankind's sins. And he knew there was no other way that we could have eternal life. And he knew that he had to die for the penalty, for the punishment, for the payment of our sins, because we couldn't do anything. There was no sacrifice that mankind could make that would satisfy that sin debt that God had, and that we had with God. So when things get rough, remember that Jesus Christ walked in our shoes. He fought a good fight. He witnessed a good confession before Pilate and all the witnesses as he stood there and said, "No, I am Christ. I am God." He did not cower. He did not back away or compromise. So as we're fighting a good fight, to fight a good fight doesn't mean to retreat. Fighting a good fight means making a stand for what we believe and what God has done and what he is going to do. And we need to remember how Jesus did it. And we need to remember that he dwells in us as a believer. The third reason is because Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back for us, church. In verse 14 and 15, it says that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and the only... keep forgetting how to spell that. Potentate, right? Sounds good to me. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So the third reason is that we need to fight a good fight is because Jesus is coming back. He's given us this time period to be fighting a good fight of faith, We've given us this time period to be sharing the truth with the lost world, to be investing in each other, to be growing in our faith. We need to be using this time period because he's coming back. He's either going to call us home or he's coming back. One or the other is going to guarantee happen in our life. We're all either going to die or we're going to meet him in the clouds. He's going to rapture us out of this place. So Paul encourages Timothy to not quit, but to keep fighting. And look what Paul tells Timothy here. He motivates him with this. He motivates him with, until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he tells him. Hey, keep going until Jesus comes back. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28 says this. Hebrews 9, 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Paul reminds Timothy, hey, Jesus is coming back. We read here in Hebrews, hey, Jesus is coming back. In Luke chapter 21, in verse 25, it says this. 21:25, it says, and there shall be signs in the suns and in the moon and in the stars, and unto the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Hello, we're living in these times, church. Jesus is near. He's coming back. And he goes on in verse 27, and it says, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with the power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Jesus has gone away to heaven, but it's for a season. He died as a lamb and rejected as the king. And when Christ appears the second time, it will be to take the church out. This will begin his times, as we see here in our text. And the next verse says, our next verse says that. It says, in his time, or his time in our text, in verse 15, which in his times, his times will demonstrate to everyone exactly who he is. The blessed and the only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That word potentate, because I'm like, holy smokes, I can't even pronounce it. I need to know what it means. It means of great authority. Mighty. Those that we witness to today that don't believe who Jesus is, they will one day realize he is of great authority. He is mighty. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. They will understand that one day. I pray that they understand that before it's too late. And that's why we, as the church, need to be fighting the good fight of faith and telling them that. Whether they think we're off our rocker, whether they think we're crazy or not, we are crazy. I believe this book, which people think I'm crazy for. You know, we're going to lose battles as we fight the good fight of faith on here on earth. But we know exactly who wins the war. And we need to be on the winning side. And I hope that you are on the winning side, because when Jesus returns to earth, it won't be as the lamb. It's going to be as the lion. And he's coming back to make war with the ungodly. He will put Satan out of business. Hallelujah. And he will be the only potentate, the only ruler, the only authority, the only mighty one. And there will be nobody that can dispute who he is or dispute his word. And then take a look here at what verse 16 says. It says, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. So the fourth reason is we need to fight is because of his immortality, because Christ was sinless. Therefore, his body was not subject to decay or corruption. And this is why he rose from the dead, completely and totally defeating death and the grave. He's incorruptible, he's immortal, and he's not subject to any of what our flesh is. No other man has ever been sinless. Nobody else has ever had an immortal body. But here is the incredible part. When Jesus comes back, he's going to share that with us, because we get a new body. We get a glorified body. In 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 55, it says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but when we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and the mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass, the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? This should encourage us to fight the good fight of faith. And we need to fear life or death because we share in Christ's immortality. We will receive glorified bodies. We should not fear death. I'm sorry. Because we will receive glorified bodies like Christ, enabling us to dwell in his presence, to be with him. Because we wear flesh-covered or sin-covered flesh. And that can't be in the presence of God. So in conclusion, there's a lot to look forward to. We have that to look forward to, that one day we get to be in the presence of him. One day we get to be with him forever, for eternity. But that started from the moment of our salvation. But yet we look until that day. We look until the time we get to spend in heaven. But what about the time that Jesus has laid here for the time period he's given us and the instructions that he's given us to fight? Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't give in. And don't compromise with Satan's worldly system. Because that's the problem with today, is the devil wants to trip us up. The devil wants to get us to stumble. The devil wants us to take our eyes off Christ. The devil wants us to do things our way. And don't worry about eternity. That's his plan. That's what he wants. So the four reasons to fight. The Lord is watching. We have Christ's example. He's coming back. And he's immortal. And he completes us. He will make us perfect one day. Completely. We're on the winning side if we're born again. And once you're saved, you're enlisted in the Lord's army. I just went to my cousin's see you later deal, I guess we would call it. He's enlisted into the Marine Corps. I'm like, holy smokes, you've lost your mind, right? But so we went and told him, see you later. He enlisted. There's no turning back. He's going to be a soldier. And praise the Lord, he's a soldier for Christ, most of all. But he's going to become a soldier to protect our rights and our freedom as United States citizens. And it encourages me that our young people will desire to do that. He enlisted. And guys, when we were accepted the free gift of salvation, we enlisted in the army that God has assembled. And though we don't fight against flesh and blood, we fight against those things, right? The spiritual wickedness. We need to be ready. We need to grow. We have to grow. Just as he's getting ready to go through a grueling 15 to 18 weeks of boot camp in sunny San Diego, California, he's going to grow. He's going to grow into what the government wants him to be, right? Because he's enlisted in the army. But we, as Christians, need to grow into what God wants us to be so that we can fight. Because some of us don't know how to fight, and that's okay. It's not okay, but it's okay because, hey, we first have to admit, I don't know what I'm doing. And none of us want to admit that. None of us want to say, hey, listen, I'm tired of taking it. And I really don't even know how to pick up the sword. I don't know how to handle the sword. I don't know anything. That's a great victory in your life. So that then you can begin to grow. So that then people can invest in you. So that God can say, thank you for laying down your pride and becoming humble, becoming teachable. And we have to do that as soldiers. We need to be doing that and saying, God, train me into the soldier that you want me to be so that I know properly how to fight the good fight of faith. Because right now I'm fighting the wrong fight. And I'm getting destroyed. There's no discharge. It's for life until we meet Christ. Remember that. So how is your fight looking? Are you beat down? Are you defeated? Are you leaning on Christ? Are you learning from Christ? And are you growing in Christ? Because those three things must happen inside of these four things that we've seen here on how to fight a good fight and why we need to fight a good fight. We have to lean on Christ and we got to learn from him and we will have to grow in him in order for this to properly happen in our life. Because we want to lean on our own understanding. We don't want God's direction in our life. What are we engaged in spiritually? What are we engaged in? Is it for our own flesh, for our own desires? Is there any spiritual battles in your life? Are there any battles raging that you're like, I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand why there's so much bad things happening to me. Let me encourage you. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, it says, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If the devil's not attacking you, you're not a threat. There should be some spiritual battles going on in your life. You should be a little bit like perplexed of why? What is it? Not questioning God, but realizing, okay, I know why. I'm living godly, and I'm going to suffer a little bit of persecution for it. My Jesus suffered a ton of persecution. Why can't I suffer a little bit? Because there should be some of that happening in your life. So how are you finishing your course? You know, some of us are closer to the end of our race than others, and that doesn't mean age, right? We've seen that laid out before us with two 18-year-old young ladies lost their life this week. Their race is over on earth. We don't know when our race is going to end, but I can guarantee you one thing. If you're saved, we're all in the same race, maybe in different positions, but we're in that race, and we need to just focus on our race and running our race strong, church, and this will cause growth to happen. Because racing doesn't mean we have a track, like an amazing track coach over here in the corner. And he doesn't teach his kids, hey, just sit on the bench for practice today. Just have a seat. That's good practice, right? That's going to make them, it's going to make them suck, right? If I could just be blunt. It doesn't help you to sit on the bench. You got to get out and run. And you got to have endurance and patience as you do that. So our race doesn't mean just, you know what? I'm just going to sit out this year. I am burnt out for Jesus. So I need to sit out. There's no growth going to happen. There's not. We don't get timeouts. It's just a steady race that we need to run that is set before us. That we just need to trust God. We need to lean on Him, learn of Him, and grow in Him so that all that can happen as we run. And we need to trust that He's going to give us the endurance to finish our course. And it's going to grow us. And then it's going to cause us to begin to rely on His strength because ours fails us. We are weak. Why? Because He is strong. When we are weak, He is strong. In 2 Corinthians 12. Because we cannot endure without Christ. We can't. We try. The text ends with these words and we'll wrap up. It says, to Him, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. We need to understand who the honor is for. To whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Who are you honoring today? Who are you honoring? Are you honoring a man, a woman, an individual, yourself? Oftentimes we honor ourselves. It better be Jesus. We need to be honoring the one that, the only one that deserves it. This is a shorter message today, but I wanted to get through this to wrap this portion of Scripture up to understand why we need to fight. Why? Because Christ is worthy of it. He is worthy of us enduring a little bit of heartache, a little bit of a hardness. And we need to endure hardness as a good soldier because He is worthy of that. So honor Him today, church. Honor Him with your life. And see where these four things, maybe you didn't understand what these four things meant before today, before you could see these and why we needed to fight a good fight. Nothing more than to just honor and glorify our God. That's the main number one reason. Let's pray.